thank you for joining us on The Skeptic Sidekick, where we delve into ancient societies, the ghosts, the paranormal, UFOs, all looking at it from the perspective of the true believer and from the skeptic perspective. Joining me, my partner, my co-host, my sibling, Kimber Rodriguez. Myself, I am Richard Gregg. And again, let's look into being the skeptic psychic. Hello, and welcome once again to the Skeptic Sidekick. I am your host, Richard Gregg, and with me as always, the wonderful, the talented, the extraordinary sister that everybody should have in their lives, Kimber Rodriguez.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine.
That's good. Did you have a Merry Christmas?
I did, and like I said, it's have been living here 2 months, here in Roswell, New Mexico. Got here in November and decided I wanted to stay, I guess.
Awesome. Yeah, mine was kind of a letdown. We usually get together with my in-laws and celebrate, open gifts, eat tamales, but they ended up all getting COVID. So
they're
all quarantined. And so we were stuck at home. But it's going to be a new year in about 3 days, and we're praying that COVID finds its way off and becomes not much of an issue anymore.
Right. Leaves that last lamplight out of town.
Yes. So this week, we're very fortunate again to have Jason Dean McKean join us again.
Who is the wittiest, wonderful Wizard of Tarot. Is that correct?
Well, I just call myself the Tarot Wizard or the Tarot Wizard. I don't know about all the wittiest and all that, but I'll go with it.
Yes. So how have you been?
Well, I've been doing great. I had a very quiet holiday as far as me and my wife. We went over to my sister's, and you know, we were late to the dinner, and so everything was kind of packed away, but they brought it out and reheated some things. And
That was nice.
That was nice, but it wasn't like just a big sit down and, you know, a free for all.
Right.
But we got some good conversation in, and me and my wife, we'd been out in the desert, in Nevada for, 3 days or so. We're hiking around. It's the only time that I've gone into, you know, that area. It's like, you know, sometimes I'll go into Las Vegas, and you know, Vegas can wipe you out. As far as it's a place that it sucks the life out of you.
Yes,
you know, perhaps your wallet too. That's not usually, you know, my thing is to go and gamble. It's to, you know, I'm a people watcher. I love like crowds and all, but this time, we were in the desert. We were hiking around. It was beautiful weather, and I came home energized by it. Just it was fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah, I've been to Vegas once. My mom took me for my 21st birthday, and I'm not really much of a gambler either. So we just kind of checked out some of the shows, walked the strip some, went shopping at Caesar's Palace. But other than that, it was a nice place. But yeah, I can definitely see how it can wipe a person out.
Yeah, it's so exaggerated. Mm-hmm. You know, the and you know, mainly in the strip, because down Las Vegas Boulevard, it's like a poor man's world tour there, where you see Paris and Venice, Italy, and then the Luxor, the pyramids, and the big statue of the Sphinx out in this. It's a poor man's world tour,
right?
In that 20 minutes that it takes to drive up, and then but there's a lot that goes on in there, and it can entertain you for days on end, but after a while it just like it sucks the life out of you, and so right. you get away from it, and hopefully stay away from it for a while.
Right.
My experience with Vegas itself was the fact of, it was just one big money grab, and you'd actually see on the side of the casinos, people passed out for being too drunk. So me, I'm also a people watcher, and I love museums. And so that was the only draw for me to go to Vegas, you know,
and you know, walking down the main strip and seeing every time you pass a casino, somebody's passed out on the front lawn. It's like, yeah, this is not a healthy place to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I passed a sign for the Zach Bagans or Bagans Haunted Museum there. Have you checked that out?
Not yet. I went back there right before they closed the Star Trek Experience.
At the Hilton.
Yeah, that's one of my goals within the new year is to, I would love to go. They have a paranormal convention there every year in November. And my goal is to hopefully go next year. And while I'm there, check out the Haunted Museum. I'm very interested in what he has there and just check it out.
Well, it's like you're very interested in the paranormal and ghosts.
Oh, yes. I had quite a few experiences, and my mom being psychic heard a lot of her experiences with ghosts. And it's something that I grew to be passionate about from, I would say, 3-4 years old. I'd be there sitting at her feet as she was talking about her experiences with her friends and just really in like taken in by it. And so, yeah, I remember being in 3rd or 4th grade and my friends and I trying to figure out how to ghost hunt. And we didn't know what we were doing. We were just like going around in these abandoned homes, looking in to see if there were spirits or if we could see anything, anything odd or different. So,
can you make those experiences happen? You know, as far as like going to a place and, okay, ghosts, present yourself. Or my experience is that it's kind of the other way around.
Right. Well, it, 3rd or 4th grade, I didn't know what I was doing. So.
Okay. All right.
Well, there is the argument again for Tobas, you know, the made up spirits that with your mind, you may have come true, that sort of thing. So.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. There was a very interesting, I don't know if you've seen the show Kindred Spirits, and they had an episode where they went to this home where there was supposedly this mirror was haunted by this little boy. And what they found out was that people believing this and creating the stories about it were making the stories come true. It's like this entity was born out of just their imaginations. And the more they added to it, the more it grew. So they did some tests where they gave it like a backstory, and they gave it like how it died, who its family was, and all these things. And then they went in and they did a EVP session with the ghost box, and they were getting responses back like, okay, well, what is your name? And, you know, and so all these things that the ghost was telling them was what they had just made up hours before about this ghost. And that's why they figured out that it was all just a manifestation out of people's beliefs. And so they're like, well, if you quit talking about it, it's going to go away because it's feeding off of your energy and you're creating this thing. So that was really interesting to see.
Yeah. Do ghosts, do they need people like live people in order to feed, you know, off of emotion or recognition, right? It's like right. Before even a ghost could say, well, maybe I'm dead. It's like, what am I doing here?
Right. Right. And I think in a way they do, because the fact that I believe ghosts are just, we're all energy, and energy is everlasting. So that energy carries over, but it needs to feed off of something. Mm-hmm. So when you go into a haunted place, it has you to feed off of to present itself. When you go in and you're using like cameras or recorders, well, then it has that energy to feed off of. And that's why sometimes the cameras and the batteries glitch or drain, because that spirit's taking that energy in order to manifest.
Oh, interesting. So it's feeding on some of these electrical impulses and all.
Right. And that's also why you feel cold when there's a ghost around, because the energy is being pulled away for that ghost to manifest, creating that cold temperature.
Interesting. Well, I tuned in so I could hear about the Queen Mary.
I did too.
I was just going to say, we've gotten way off topic, but
yes.
No, we're on topic. We're just like kind of away from the main setting, right? Which, you know, I've worked there. I just don't know a lot of like the history of this right. and that. I've gone through a couple of the tours and all, but I want to hear the history of the Queen Mary.
Yes. And that's one thing I have heard people complain about is the Queen Mary, when you go on the tours, they focus on all the hauntings, but they don't tell you the history of the ship and how it came to be. And I know there are a lot of listeners out there who've never heard of the Queen Mary. So I want to go ahead and give them some background as well, so they know kind of what it is and everything about that. But we will get into the hauntings as well. Rick, do you want to go ahead and start telling us about the history?
Sure. Her Royal Majesty Services Queen Mary is a retired British ocean liner that sailed primarily on the North Atlantic Ocean from 1936 to 67, owned by the Cunard White Star Line. Construction on the ship began in December of 1930 on the River Clyde by the John Barrow and Company shipyard at Clyde Bank in Scotland.
John Brown and Company.
Work was halted, huh?
You're fine.
I thought I said John Brown and Company. Forgive me. Work was halted, not haunted.
But well, I mean, that's maybe where it started in 1930.
It could be.
Right. In December of 1931, due to the Great Depression, Cunard applied to the British government for a loan to compensate the hull number 534. Completion took 3.5 years at a cost of 3.5 million pounds sterling, then equal to 17.5 million, which is equivalent to 338,550,995 in 2020. Wow.
And much of the ship's interior was designed and constructed by Bromsgrove Guild. Among the facilities, the liner featured two indoor pools, a beauty salon, libraries, children's nurseries, and three classes. It also had a musical studio and lecture hall. It had telephone connectivity to anywhere in the world, an outdoor paddle tennis court, and dog kennels. The largest room on board was the cabin class, which was the first class, the main dining room, and it spanned 3 stories in height, was anchored by 3 wide columns. The cabin class main dining room featured a large map of the transatlantic crossing with twin tracks symbolizing the winter-spring routes further south to avoid icebergs, and the summer-autumn route. During each crossing, a motorized model of the Queen Mary would indicate the vessel's progress and route.
Well, legend has it that that the board of directors at Cunard had decided to name the ship the Queen Victoria, which had been in keeping with the tradition of the Cunard ships having AI suffix, as in Margarita and Antroquita, Bergeria. Again, with the legend, the directors went to King George asking his blessings for the ship's proposed name, saying, "We have decided to name our new ship after England's greatest queen," meaning Queen Victoria, upon which the king was reported to state, "My wife, Queen Mary, will be delighted that you are naming the ship after her." Now, that was denied for years by the company officials. However, Felix Morley, who sat as a guest, he was the Washington Post editor, in his 1979 autobiography, For the Record, Morley wrote that he was placed at the table with Sir Percy Bates, chairman of the Cunard line, and Bates told him the story of the naming of the ship on condition that he would not print it during my lifetime.
And the Queen Mary sailed on her maiden voyage on May 27, 1936. The day the ship was launched in 34, a well-known English psychic, Lady Mabel Fortescue Harrison, would predict The Queen Mary will know her greatest fame and popularity when she never sails another mile or carries another fare-paying passenger. Interesting. That definitely has come to be. Beginning with its maiden voyage in 36, it carried slightly over 3 million passengers. Since then, an estimated 50 million people have visited the ship in Long Beach. So yeah, that is definitely a foretell that came true.
Right. So, with the outbreak of World War II, she was converted to a truce ship in the fall of 1939. And she ferried Allied soldiers from Australia and New Zealand to England during the conflict. They dubbed her of a gray ghost because of her stealth and stark color. The Queen Mary was the largest and fastest troop ship to sail, capable of transporting as many as 16,000 troops at 30 knots. On October 2nd, 1942, the Queen Mary accidentally sank one of her escort ships, slicing through the light cruiser, Her Majesty's ship, Curacoa, off the Irish coast with a loss of 239 lives. The Queen Mary was carrying thousands of Americans of the 29th Infantry Division to join the Allied forces in Europe. Due to the risk of U-boat attacks, Queen Mary was under orders not to stop under any circumstances and steam onward with a fractured stem. The captain, Gordon Illingsworth, immediately ordered the accompanying destroyers to look for survivors within moments of the Curacoa's sinking. 99 were rescued, including the captain.
From the 8th to the 14th of December in 1942, the Queen Mary carried 10,389 soldiers and 950 crew, totaling 11,339 people. From July 25th through July 30th, 1943, it carried 15,740 soldiers and 943 crew, which totaled 16,083 people. This was a standing record for the most passengers ever transported on one vessel. And this was only possible in the summer as passengers had to sleep on deck. Following the war, Queen Mary was refitted for passenger service again and commenced the transatlantic passenger station. The passenger service, along with the sister ship Queen Elizabeth, for which she was initially built. The two ships dominated the transatlantic passenger transport market until the dawn of the jet age in the late 50s. And by the mid-1960s, Queen Mary was aging and was operating at a loss.
The Queen Mary officially retired from service in 1967. On the 27th of September, she completed her 1,000th and last crossing of the North Atlantic, carrying 2,112,000 passengers over 3,792,227 miles. She left Southampton for the last time in October 31st, 1967, under the command of Captain John Treasure Johns, who had been captain since 1965. After the voyage around Cape Horn, she arrived in Long Beach on December 9, 1967, where she remains permanently moored. This ship right now serves as a tourist attraction featuring restaurants, museum, and a hotel. So that's pretty much the history of it. In 2008, Time Magazine included it as being the top 10 haunted places.
Yes, some of their most famous hauntings, Cabin B340, which is no longer rented out. And the reason for this is a lot of paranormal activity and disturbances occur in that room. Guests have claimed that they are haunted by ghosts of a murdered staff member. Faucets will turn on by themselves. Bed sheets fly across the room. Also, the engine room is haunted by the ghost of Mr. Petter, which was a fireman who died there. During the routine drill in 1966, this young sailor was crushed to death by one of the ship's water doors. During the emergencies, these doors would close, thus sealing off large sections of the Queen Mary to avoid sinking. According to the official version, just for the fun of it, crew members had this tradition to try their luck, hopping back and forth through the doorway as many times as they could before the huge door would close, The victims tried one too many times, and some visitors have reported seeing the man's bearded ghost and blue overalls walk towards the 13th, I'm sorry, walk towards the door 13 and then simply vanish. They call him Half Hatch Harry, but his real name was John Petter.
Okay. One of the most famous ghosts that most people talk about is a little girl named Jackie. Most likely, they would find her in the
pool,
in the first class pool area. But she has been seen all around Queen Mary. A supervisor lady and her co-worker had heard strange sounds in the pool, like a little girl playing and splashing there. The splashing sounds stopped and the eerily giggling continued. A small kid's wet footprint were noticed when walking into the changing room. So there's been a lot of EVPs with a little girl named Jackie saying hello, hi, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Also, the women's changing area, a really cramped dark space with numerous tiny rooms located at the back of the pool, are said to hold swirling vortexes of negative energy, something like a dimensional gateway, producing heavy feelings detected by several psychics. Some say that this could be due to a woman who has been raped there at one time. There's also the empty boiler rooms. Also, the disaster and cargo hold area known as Bunsen's Locker. Bosun's Locker, thank you. This has been another place with lots of noisy death already. That could be due to World War II. While sailing zigzag to evade the Nazis, it accidentally collided with one of the escort boats and sliced it in half. The boat area was seriously damaged, and obviously sometimes screams can be heard there, along with the eerie sounds of metal tearing, pounding on the walls, and water rushing. A few other places are the Winston Churchill stateroom, the old kitchen, the morgue, also the salon, the first class suites, the third class nursery, and the second class swimming pool.
Now, interesting to note that even though you may not believe in ghosts or these stories, it does have a habit of draining on energy of cell phones, digital devices, including cameras that have been fully charged to drain within a few minutes, digital cameras refusing to work properly. Some ghost researchers do occasionally see or hear or feel something that's out of the ordinary, like dizziness, nausea, heat and cold flashes. Possibility that since that those 2 hours of the tour, most of the ghostly parts began with a dinner at Sir Winston's restaurant. And after tour guide numerous horror suggestions, some ghosts may simply experience the side effects of too many dinner drinks.
Yes, this is possible.
Sir Winston's, by the way, it's a fantastic place. You know, we took my mother there for her 80th birthday.
Oh, wow.
At Sir Winston's. And it, like, because we went there, it's like it sparked my interest to want to be there more, you know. And so when there was an opportunity, then it was like, oh yeah, I want to be on the Queen Mary. But just a real fancy schmancy restaurant for sure. This Sir Winston's.
Interesting.
He was a fancy spancy type of guy from what I hear.
He was there. I mean, he had his own little quarters and all that. Found, I guess, some solace there on the Queen Mary.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yes. So that's just a little bit about the history and some of the known hauntings. Right now it is closed due to COVID and also some wear and tear on the boat being as old as it is and being in the ocean with the salt water. Right now they have filed for bankruptcy, so there is no telling if it will be reopened. We're praying that it is, because this is a place that I've always been fascinated by and have always wanted to check out. So I'm hoping someday I can get that chance. But why don't you tell us about some of the experiences that you've had on the Queen Mary and reading tarot?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, like my experience there has, it first started out as a tourist, as, mm-hmm. you know, going there and you know, just to check it out. And it's like, oh, this is cool. This is great. It's like being on the Titanic, right? Yeah. So it's bigger than right. the Titanic, but it has that whole feel to it. It was only what 15 years after the Titanic mm-hmm. sank or something that you know, so they were using very similar technology mm-hmm. to building it. So, you know, it's you instantly go back in time when you're on board. And so I, like I was saying, I you know, had that dinner experience for my mother and my siblings. And there was an opportunity to work the Halloween haunt there. They call it Dark Harbor. Mm-hmm. And it's something that goes on for a month, although you're prepping for it, you're auditioning, you're doing all these things for like 3 months before. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal. They hire, you know, hundreds of people called scare-ictors. You know, they're like scare actors or mm-hmm. that are part of the haunt part of it, the scary part where, you know, people are trained to scare the gee-willikers out of you. Yes. You know, you're in a haunted environment, and you're also, you know, you have people who are enhancing that by, you know, doing their best to scare you. I've been in the boat like before an event begins or so, and you know, just mm-hmm. walking around, and it's already kind of like scary and dark, and even if the lights are on, mm-hmm. there's energy, right? It's like mm-hmm. energy doesn't lie too about a place, and there are pockets throughout that you can kind of walk into and just go, ooh, you know, and others that feel a little bit lighter. But and I've done both, where I've read Tarot on board, and I've also been one of the scare actors or scare actors where you know, when needed. It's like it like for me, it kind of fulfilled like joining the circus, you know. Right. I mean, it's like running away from home and joining the circus for a month.
It's Toby Tyler thing.
And yeah it's like you get to do, you know, something, it's fun. And you know, when you're a part of something that's big and maybe they need like a person to fill a slot for a time, it's like, you know, hey, I'll do it, you know. It's like, you know, you're kind of up for anything. You're there to provide a big entertainment. And so so the first year that I was there, I was there for 3 years, and then, you know, COVID shut it down. But the first year, it's like I was reading Tarot, and you know, since I'm the Tarot wizard, right? It's like Tarot is like a sacred act. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's something that, you know, I'm not there to scare people with the actual reading. You know, as a joke, people will come up and they'll be like, "Oh, tell me when I'm gonna die." You know, like it's a joke, right?
Right.
And I could like, oh, the cards tell me that you're going to die a horrible death, you know, but that's not what I do, you mm-hmm. know, because the reading is sacred.
Right.
It's like I'm going to read if I'm, you know, in a New Age shop or wherever, you know, I'm going to mm-hmm. read the same. I'm going to read for people to help better their life. And right. I may be painted up in ghoulish makeup and all, but I'm going to read as I do. And so, you know, that being in that environment, it's already scary enough, right? There's going to be people mm-hmm. who are going to jump out at you and, you know, scare you anyway. It's not my job as the right. reader to do that. And the energy, because it can be heavy on the ship, mm-hmm. it can feel like, you know, you're walking into this like fog, you know, like this ancient mist there. And so, you know, people are already there kind of wrestling with that. And so, you know, I'm looking to just like help them navigate their current situation and all, in a, you know, it can be a festive manner. I can exaggerate a little bit, but it's like, it's not too heavy handed. You know, I found that when I would prepare, that, you know, what I would do is I would take stock of the surroundings, and I would, you know, thank the spirits that are around, because they're definitely an influence.
Right.
You know, when you're doing anything that's you know, as a sensitive, as an empath, you know, it's like you don't want any spirits coming in and playing with you, you know, being mischievous with you. And so it's like, you know, showing respect for the environment and for,
right.
And, you know, there are a lot of spirits that are used to people,
mm-hmm.
that they kind of look for that. They look for that recognition. They mm-hmm. kind of look for that respect, because that's their home.
Right.
That's the space that they occupy.
Mm-hmm.
And early on, it was just kind of like, I kind of had to like intuit that a little bit. I had to learn that a little bit, because, you know, it's like, I'll place myself in a lot of different environments and just kind of suss it out and all. And this mm-hmm. by far was one of the more like, again, that word, like heavy, the heavy atmosphere and all, mm-hmm. kind of best describes it. You know, sometimes I'll have dreams that I go into a haunted room. It's like this in my own subconscious. It is this room that is in this house, and the rest of the house is like, okay, but this particular room, it has a heaviness to it. And so you walk in, and it's just kind of like, you feel like you're in slow-mo a bit, because, you know, you're kind of slowed down in it. And so one has to collect themselves and, mm-hmm. and strengthen themselves in that environment.
Yeah, describing your bedroom, that sounds like my bedroom growing up. It was a dark, foreboding place. I mean, Kimber can actually verify that with the fact that my bedroom was the darkest of the house.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, you know, for me, it's, I'm not sure why it's my subconscious, that room there. It's like, but for now on, I'm going to call it Richard's room.
Thank you.
In honor of you.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All sorts of wonderful things would happen there.
So one of the things that happened last year was, you know, I was being more exploratory in the ship. Like I went down into like the, I mean, it felt like the bowels of the ship. And they had set up a bar down there, because during the event you can drink, and it's like, you know, geez, you know, I mean, that's, you know, spirits love the spirits in that, you know, they will, yes. it can leave openings for them to come in and really mm-hmm. mess with you.
Right. Well, I think it's because when you, alcohol lowers your inhibitions.
Mm-hmm.
So since you're already, your mind is already being altered by the alcohol and your inhibitions are being lowered, I think it gives them, like you said, that opening for them to come in and mess with you.
Yeah. And so I was down in this area, and I forget what it was called. It looked like it was gutted, to be honest with you. You know, since the ship mm-hmm. is not a moving ship, it could have been, it could have had boilers. It could have had, like, you know, all this stuff mm-hmm. that made the engine run. But it was down below. And it was, I was allowed to just kind of wander and all. And it was just like the energy there was just, I felt like I was just being watched, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel protective of my own self. I'm not the type of person who's just like, okay, just enter, you know, whoever, whatever, you know?
Right. No,
you not about that at all. No. You know, because again, as a counselor, it's like one wants to give advice that is helpful. You know, my motto is helpful, mm-hmm. hopeful, and healing to people. And so if you open yourself up to just anything that wants to express itself, you know, that could lead to a whole bunch of problems. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And so, mm-hmm. so one has their radar out there, you know, you're sensing mm-hmm. it, but you're also, you have that shield that is not allowing, you know, that lower vibration stuff to come in and do as it pleases.
Right.
And you know, there was one instance where I heard a voice right in my ear, and it was in a men's bathroom, and it was in our break place, and they said my name. Said Jason. It was right in my ear. There was no one in the bathroom.
They know you.
So they are letting you know that they know who you are now. You've been there enough times that they know you now. You've become familiar to them.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it's like it wasn't scary. I didn't go, ghost, you know, nothing like that.
You didn't do the shaggy.
I didn't do the shaggy or the Scooby-Doo run. Right. Like, no, you. You know, you know, it's funny because, you know, everyone who's hired there, it's like we're people, and it's like the whole environment is like scary, but it's really a haunted place. And, mm-hmm. and so anything that anyone is providing as far as like, you know, extra scares and all that, that's just like icing on the cake. You know, the cake is already the ship. And it's already a haunted place. And
right.
One thing to be haunted, it's another thing to actually expel your own energy onto the haunted, make it stronger.
Mm. Right. And well, I have heard that whenever, because I know there's a lot of times that they do these haunted houses in these truly haunted places, whether it be an asylum, a ship, a house, and something about the energy of everybody being frightened, and you know, the whole point of scaring it does something where it kind of kicks that haunting into overdrive, from what I've heard, because there's so much energy going on with everybody being afraid and the scaring people that it does something to the energy that's already there. And I have heard sometimes it can create a negative force because of this energy that's being brought about with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you ever experience that?
Well, some places, because of either their physical property or so, they're like a sponge. And so they will hold energy a lot better than other places. And I don't know if, you know, metal, the property of the iron and all that, if that's just something mm-hmm. that is like good. I've heard it described as like in the old days when we had like the tape that would run over a head mm-hmm. there when we were recording something, the audio. Mm-hmm. It's like an environment will record the emotions, an event. A trauma, mm-hmm. you know, it's like with the history you're talking about, you know, the murders and all the B-340 room there, you know, that seems mm-hmm. like it was just like an environment, the way it's wired to hold that trauma in it mm-hmm. and then replay it, you know, at times, you know, where you see the apparition, where you see, you know, like flashes of light, or the noises. It's like recorded in there, and I feel that there are like specific places on the Queen Mary, you know, like the pool, the pool that, I haven't had a lot of experience there because the year that I started there, it's like it was so dilapidated that it was no longer safe. But they did have, they did allow people to, you know, go into that area and feel that heaviness of Jackie, you know, in there. And you know, it's like I have a number of coworkers who have seen Jackie and all. And during the hot season, we have like a bunch of actresses who are dressed like Jackie. And so it's scary, you know, just little kids, you know, are scary anyway. You know, when they're like, oh,
right. And I'm sure that must get her attention. She's like, hey, wait a minute, who's this person? Why do they look like me? What's going on here? So I'm sure that must pick up her attention very easily.
Yeah. I would be very curious to see, you know, with these couple of years off, you know, if the ghosts have been missing that, if they're like, restless.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, there was a show. I want to say it was Ghost Adventures, but I might be wrong. But there was a show that I was watching that they did recently go back on there because they had that same question. How were the ghosts handling with not having people around? So they went in and they did catch some pretty compelling evidence. So I thought that was pretty interesting because, like you said, they're used to having people around them for so long. And then now it's like dead. And they're like, where is everybody? What's going on?
Yeah. As far as, you know, other experiences, it wasn't the year that I was reading, I was being more of a character that year. And, you know, I was getting my fill of Halloween, certainly, you know, it was like a month long of Halloween and just that scary, right. Actually I used my time as someone who would kind of just jump out and scare people. Used it as a way of, it was like school, it was like an education, and I was looking to see what scares people and how do people show their fear. And when people are walking, it's like if you're someone who is like in wait, looking for the appropriate time to jump out at someone, it's like you don't watch their, like the top half of their body. You watch their feet. Because their feet are telling you, like, it's like if they hesitate, you know, it's like you know that they're like, uh-oh. And so using it as a lesson or a teaching moment in studying what makes people afraid. I mean, that's, as a counselor, that's invaluable, you know. It's also fun, you know, I've been an older brother and stuff. So it's like, you know, scaring my, you know, younger siblings and, you know, it's like that's just natural.
You know nothing about that, do you, Richard?
Oh no, I don't Richard. Know about no full moon in the middle of the street somewhere and walking in front.
Yes, oh my gosh. I'll never forget that. Oh, mom and dad were so mad at you that night because they knew I would be calling into bed with them.
Okay. No, we gotta get this truth story out. We're walking home from a party just down the block, and I looked up, and this guy's like, oh no, it's a full moon. No. And I crunched down, and Kimber come running up to me, and she's like, Rick, are you okay? And I turned around and went like that to her.
Yes. Yes. But before that, at the party, everybody was telling ghost stories.
Right.
Oh yeah.
So it was already kind of creeped out as it was. And then he pulls this. And yes, he used to pull that werewolf skid on me quite a few times when we were kids because he knew it would scare me.
Yes. busted, but yeah, it's like, you know, it's like you have an opportunity anyway to, you know, be in that scary mode. And it's, mm-hmm. it's interesting how you get desensitized to it. Or, you know, if one of the patrons, if they come up and they try to scare you, right, how it just like, mm-hmm. it's like falls flat because, you know, you're the pro, you're the one who's like mm-hmm. expecting it, you know, and, but I've been messed with in the queen, like kind of it, getting into position in the dark or, mm-hmm. you know, where I've walked into walls and I could have sworn mm-hmm. that they were not there, but I've walked right into them. And, mm-hmm. You know, that's like one of those moments where you're just kind of, you know, you see the stars and it's like, and you're like, yes. Saying, you know, I really didn't need to do that. You know, to right. just like, and I'm like 6'3", you know, so it's like, yes. there's mm-hmm. a lot of pipes and just mm-hmm. stuff that, you know, you really have to watch out for. And I am careful, but, mm-hmm. but the energies there, they can just kind of like, here, go this way. You know,
and, oh, that's interesting. Right.
But it's,
so then you're looking around, did anybody see that? Anybody around to notice that?
Well, sometimes I'm alone.
That's what I'm saying. You make sure that nobody saw you. Because oh, I'm yeah. sure that would be pretty embarrassing.
Yeah. It's like, everyone like, ah, ha, ha, gets around the camp there.
Right.
Yeah. It's a special place, you know, and it's like I've been missing it the last couple of years. It's very, very special. And, you know, I know that the energies there, if you're not respectful of them, that they can turn on you. When you work right. in a haunted environment, it's like you, mm-hmm. it is like someone's home that you are a guest in.
Exactly. Right. And that's why, like, these people who go into these haunted places and they start, what's it called, where they're like disrespecting them and just being very rude and obnoxious. And it's like, you wouldn't go into your friend's home or your neighbor's home and act this way. So why are you going into their home and, you know, calling them out? And, you know, you've got it just like you would respect a living person. You need to respect that ghost as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, kind of a similar energy, like going into a cemetery or something that, mm-hmm. but, definitely, when it reopens, I have a feeling that it will reopen mm-hmm. that.
I think so
that
too.
They'll pull together the necessary capital to, you know, mm-hmm. it might be cosmetic as far as how they refurbish it and all.
Right.
Because it's iron in seawater, you know, and that's, mm-hmm. I live on the ocean. It's like, you know, we can, you know, buy a brand new barbecue and then like mm-hmm. a couple months later, it's just like a pile of rust. I was like, what? Mm-hmm. How did that happen? We just bought this.
Right.
It's cruel to anything mm-hmm. that's metal.
Yes.
So, any questions, answers, or any exciting things you want to know?
Well, I definitely have a feeling too that it's going to pull through and open back up, because this has been such a stapled institution for so long, and I think that there's so many people who love the Queen Mary that I'm sure that they'll be able to find investors or donators or somebody to help to pull it through. I mean, sadly, it won't be around forever because of the fact that it is a metal ship, like you said, with iron and salt water. But I'm hoping they can preserve it as long as they can and do what they can.
Yeah.
At least for 30 more years, because then it'd be 100 years old and, you know, then it would be, you know, remember, be the long.
Did you say 30 more years? It's going to be 10 more years.
Okay.
Yes, you forget we're already in 2022, coming 3 days.
All right. I am so sorry. I was thinking it was still 2000. So
you're right.
We wish.
That's right. I'm still, yes, 20 years old.
Yep. That's what I tell everybody. My coworkers are all in their 20s and I'm right there with them. I'm like, oh no, I'm only 22. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm 39 forever.
I go the other way. Actually, I tell just everyone I'm 300.
Well, there you go.
And it's like, you know, no one's the wiser. It's like, oh, okay. You look pretty good for 300.
Well, see, and when you're a wizard, that works because the older you are, the wiser you are.
So, right.
Wow, this guy's really.
in theory. In theory.
There you go.
Right. This guy's Dumbledore.
Yes. I mean, how Gandalf was, right. I don't know, maybe in the thousands, yeah, or. I know he was up there, yeah.
Yeah, but he had like a lot more wrinkles than me.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He earned them.
Exactly.
Yes.
Hanging around with little short guys around and, you know.
Picking on that Balrog.
Yeah, picking on that Balrog. That poor innocent Balrog. You invaded his home.
Right.
Yes. It goes back to respecting other people's homes.
Exactly.
Well, you know, with the Queen Mary too, it's that environment that, because it's older, you know, it has that air again of another era, you know, a bygone era. You know, it's something to go in and there's a meditative aspect to it that you know one can just kind of get lost for an afternoon, just walking the decks there, going down below and, you know, exploring, going on, you know, some of the tours and, you know, just seeing this and that of it. It is a magical place. It is one of my favorite places. And having had the privilege of being able to see so much of it and to, you know, not just be a tourist in it, but to, right, to be active in it as well, to create memories and with the tarot part of it, where, you know, in a season, I probably read about 500 people, which, you know, it's like 20, right, maybe 20 nights, you know, and just like a good flow of people coming in from all walks of life. Fortunately, most of them were not inebriated,
right?
Because there's nothing worse than just like talking to someone who's like, yeah, 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 and then they're like off, and you know, it's that the tarot is so like, you're able to get in and you know, pinpoint something about someone's life, and it can be a moment where it's like, oh. Yeah, yeah, it's like you have no idea of how much that resonates, and it's like you see that the universe is watching, mm-hmm, right? That you are a part of something that is larger, and when you see that, it's like, you know, you can feel like you're making more of, mm-hmm, a difference in life, and that's important. That's important for people to feel like they, mm-hmm, that they matter.
Right. No, I definitely get that. I mean, in this vast universe, we're just a small speck, but to know that we're important, that small speck is important to the universe, that can really be comforting to people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, you know, the universe is made up of a lot of different, mm-hmm, small specks, you know, and it's like, you know, when you find your part in life, when you find something that you wake up and you go, oh my God, that's really great. I love doing this. And then, you know, you invest in that and that's your life. That's the spirit that I look to help people connect with the tarot. And so whether I'm reading on the Queen Mary, whether I'm reading in a Starbucks for someone or, you know, in a New Age shop or just anywhere on Zoom, you know, that's the essence of it. And you know, when you're respecting that space that you're in, that environment, it's like you can kind of minimize some of that tomfoolery of the more mischievous ghosts and stuff that are, mm-hmm. you know, flitting by. Yeah,
definitely. Any thoughts, Richard?
I kind of agree with him about the fact of I've been on two ships in my lifetime. One of them being the ship I served on, the USS Implicit, back in from 91 to 92. You get that feeling of being out in the water, and even though it was a small ship, it's that meditative state that you're, you know, walking around the ship, that sort of thing, and feeling the ghosts or the essence of the ship itself. There's a reason why they call ships she, as always, you know.
Why is that?
Well, because it does kind of feel like a woman, you know. It can be cross, it can be kind, it can be, you know, you feel the emotions of the sea through the ship. You know, if the ship is mad at you, you know, just like a woman, it can ignore you, it can, you know.
Hey, be married. I know. You know, it's like all of that.
Rock you aggressively at the same time. When the sea itself is loving, the ship itself will gently rock you to sleep. You can feel the smells and the calmness of the sea itself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That ship is your body on the sea. So you'll be able to feel every single thing that happens to this that happening out in the sea through the female of the ship.
Yeah. So it's like the ship is the extension of the sea.
Yes.
Interesting.
It's very poetic.
Thank you. I'm a poet and you did know it.
Now you know it.
Well, now you know it. It's like you can like write some sea chanties now.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes. So, you know, have a corncob pipe or something and just like sing sailor songs.
Right. You know, one of my favorite characters growing up was Popeye.
Cool.
Ooh, nice.
Well, there you go. So you were meant to be on the sea. So, hopefully it will open back up, because that's always been one of my goals, to visit the Queen Mary and to explore it and see if I sense or feel anything or see anything while I'm there.
So
I think we're, you know, talking about this earlier, but the ability to you know, make something happen, right? Like mm-hmm. like that can be you know, you could be cheating it a little bit, right? It's like sometimes you just need
right
a quiet space or a moment, you know, where you can just kind of wander off and just be alone and sense it. And mm-hmm. if something happens, it happens. If it doesn't, then it's not to like, just, you know, say, oh, you know, that was a waste of time. It's like
right.
some of the things that, you know, when I heard the voice and all that, I wasn't expecting it. You know, I was in the men's restroom mm-hmm. and it wasn't like, you know, now something can happen. Make something happen now.
Come on.
Yeah. It's like, right. sometimes you just turn a corner and then ooh, whoa,
yes.
that feeling or whatever.
Right. Yeah. And I know, looking at it from the skeptic, I know we've talked with a lot of psychics, and one of the things that everybody says is, well, something didn't happen, or this didn't resonate, so this is fake, or this isn't really haunted because I didn't experience anything. And you can't really look at it that way, because just like people, sometimes you don't want to be messed with and you just want to go about your business, and, you know, see, so there again goes that respect. Say you go to your friend's home and they're tired and they don't want to feed you. Oh, well, you're a horrible friend because you didn't feed me when I came over. Well, I mean, it's the same thing. You don't say something doesn't exist just because they don't entertain you or perform for you.
Yeah. Well, sometimes something is a lifetime of learning mm-hmm. too. And something like, the supernatural. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you can't just like go in and it's like, okay, you know, where's the magic? Mm-hmm. Make the magic happen. It can be subtle energy, mm-hmm. too, you know, and you know, you may have to do some work on yourself to prepare yourself to kind of heighten your own senses, mm-hmm. is to temper your own fear, mm-hmm. and to temper your expectations.
True. Mm-hmm. That's definitely true.
Well, thank you again for coming back and seeing us, Jason. We really appreciated it. And
absolutely. You guys are a lot of fun.
Oh, thank you.
We do our best.
Yes.
But Kim, where can they reach us?
Well, actually, where can they reach you, Jason? For anyone who hasn't listened to the first time we had you on, where can we find you?
My website is jasondmckean.com, J-A-S-O-N-D, as in Dumbledore, M-C-K-E-A-N.com. And, you know, Facebook, Jason D. McKean, Instagram, Jason Tarot Wizard. These are great places to, you know, see me and the stuff I create.
And you also do your classes through Zoom, correct? The teaching tarot classes?
That's correct. I, for the holidays, I was taking a couple weeks off, but January, we're going to start back up. And I usually do 3 classes a week of varying levels and, you know, different types. Some classes are more experiential, mm-hmm. and experimental also. Then they're all experiential. I want everyone to read tarot. I think that's the best way to learn it.
Right.
But I teach in Japan. You know, my book, Magic Channel Tarot Reading with the Tarot Wizard. It's a long title, but no one else has it.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
That just came out with a version in Japanese.
Yes, I did see that. Congratulations.
Thank you. And you know, if anyone is wanting to learn by reading, just to, you know, wet, mm-hmm. their whistle on it, then that's a, yes. a great introduction to it.
And I did attend one of your classes.
I remember.
Yes.
You're actually, I mean, you are very good.
Oh, thank you,
Kim. It's like, not that I wouldn't, you know, no, right? but it's like you held your own, and I think, you know, it's like you've been doing it for a bit.
Yes, which actually I just started. I even mentioned in the class that I probably should have started with the beginner class because I'm still learning about the cards. So
no, but you were able to hold your own in it, and you know, it's the person who gets psyched out, right? By the label of, oh, I'm just a beginner, right?
Right.
It's like what you aren't a beginner of is, you know, someone who is in tune with your intuition and, you know, just like seeing life and the situations that people are looking at. And
yes.
It's like, you know, part of doing any of this work is to know yourself, to know your core, mm-hmm. know who it is that you're looking to express, the spiritual values you're looking to put out there in the world. And it's an opportunity to do that.
Yes, I have been working on myself and developing that part of myself. So I'm glad that that's paying off.
Yeah.
And like I said, I definitely plan to come back in the future and maybe I can drag Richard along.
Kicking and screaming.
Oh, well, Richard's another animal. I don't know about Richard. You know, he's going to do that. What? Do that again? That snarl?
You're a werewolf.
Yeah.
Yes.
That. He's going to do that. Scare away, yes, the other students.
Yeah. Yes.
No, Richard is always welcome.
Yes. Yes, he might get frighteningly accurate. He's a little more in tune than I am at this point. But again, we do appreciate you joining us again. We always love having you. It's always a pleasure.
Awesome.
And for our listeners, you can find us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Podchaser, Podbeam, pretty much anywhere where there are podcasts available, Spotify, iHeart. If you do listen to us and you enjoy what you hear, definitely rate us and review us.
Five stars, we would like. Five stars, please. Oh, please, five stars.
Yes. The five stars and the reviews do help for anybody who's looking for a paranormal podcast to find us easier. But we'll take anything. You can always learn from the bad reviews just as you can the good ones.
Right. And we are also on Facebook and Instagram, YouTube, and we do have our own website, which is skepticpsychic.com, where we do, hopefully in the new year, we'll have more blogs as well as vlogs and all these wonderful interviews with people like Jason.
Yes, and we are now on TikTok. So that's another place that people can find us. So wherever you want to hang out, we're there.
Was I supposed to dance at some point for that?
No.
No. No.
Hey, come on. I'm a wizard. I don't dance.
Oh, goodness. Yes, I don't dance either.
I can't dance, you know, but I'm with Phil Collins and Genesis, you know.
But if anybody has any questions or you'd like to be on our show, email us at info@skepticpsychic. Again, join us on YouTube, like us on YouTube, subscribe, hit the notifications, and tell your friends about us.
All righty. And with that, I guess close another chapter in this wonderful time. Again, thank you again, Jason.
Thank you.
You
thank
are
you.
A wonderful person. No, no, no. We're not worthy. We're not worthy.
Yes, we're not worthy.
And everybody, have a wonderful night and unpleasant nightmares.
Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.